This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space. And we're back for another episode of the Ads and Dunks podcast, as always brought to you by the Oz American Aces. My name, of course, is Adam. With me, as always, in Queensland, beautiful hot Queensland, my best mate, Joshy Dunkley. Mate, what a couple hours we have just had. So typically, usually it's me stuffing up, it's my fault, you know, I'm unprepared, I've got my 2K game in front of me right now. I've actually played a half of 2K, been waiting to get online. Josh's internet has decided to play up and we've been sitting here for about an hour and 10 minutes. Poor Brado's stressing, Tommy Sheridan's stressing. I don't know why I just called him Tommy Sheridan, we're calling him Tommy. Everyone's stressing, we're finally doing the episode. So, mate, how good?
Yeah, I know, how good. How good that we're actually doing the episode now. And thanks for the welcome, mate. It's nice to be here. But yeah, I think we've figured it out. Tipper was watching a bit of Netflix and downloading all these things and it's just taken over the internet. So I didn't realize that was actually a thing. So I've had to change a few internet settings, the internet optimizer, my dongle or whatever you call it, the thing that Tommy's talking about. And we got it sorted, mate. So we're here. We're good.
Is it true that Tommy was stressing out that he was pretty much telling you to go to Chris Fagan's house to set up a podcast room just so you can get the episode going? Because we know Tommy's a big stresser.
Mate, he's called me and I'm sitting on here trying to listen to you and Brado, like trying to do things. And he's like, Doug's like, come on, like surely there's someone from the club, you know, you can just get him on the line and get them to send you their media dongle or whatever it is, like, or go to Mitch Robinson's house to go and, you know, he might have a setup. I was like, come on, mate. Come on, mate.
Oh, we'll 7 o'clock at night, calling Mitchie Robinson. Hey, it probably would have been better than listening to me try and play the keyboard over there. I've got a keyboard over there that I've been practicing, and we filled in a couple of minutes, me playing the keyboard and playing a bit of 2K here. But no, you're right, mate. We're up and running. How good? Not so good week for you and I personally for our footy club, but in terms of, I mean, away from footy, how was your week? Obviously, you played last week. My first game was this week. Other than footy, what did you get up to? Anything exciting?
Not a lot new compared to last week, other than the bedroom nearly bought, actually finished today. So I'll have to send you a couple of videos over the next few hours to show you what it's like because you haven't seen it. But other than that, we went to Perth on Friday. So we're over there for a good few days and I was lucky enough to catch up with some family. You know them over there. We're talking about you in the kitchen because last time you were there with me and we had dinner and whatnot. So it was nice to see them and the cousins. And actually, Ellie, my cousin's just had a newborn baby. So that was pretty cool to see that. And it was nice little experience.
Yeah, congratulations, Ellie. I love your family over there. I had some great memories over there. And it's funny because I feel like now the day before a game, I always send you a little Snapchat or a photo of my dessert. Because my dessert came up and last year on one of our episodes last year, I got some good traction, my dessert, the peanut butter and the baguette or whatever roll it is. So it's good.
They just all lost it, mate. They were all loving it. It was funny as. And then I started talking about you and how, remember last time when you and I went there for dinner and you're like, nah, I've got to have spag bowl. I've got to have this salad. I've got to have this. Make sure you have this peanut butter, this baguette because you are so remember. Routine base. I went over this week and was like, nah, just whatever.
Mate, and how did we go? I already know how we went. We won by 20 goals against the West Coast Eagles. How did you guys go on the weekend? Maybe you've got to be like me, your pasta, your salad, your peanut butter, your baguettes, whatever it may be, your Coke Zeros, can't miss out on that. Maybe it'd be like that.
Fair enough. That's a cheeky little dig there, but I'll cop that one on the chin.
Hey, we didn't win either, so. You can dig at me all you like, but oh, that's good. Sounds like you had a good weekend.
Yeah, how was yours? What have you been up to?
Mine was all right. Other than footy, it was it was good. As I just said before, I played a little bit of keyboard for you. I've been trying to learn the keyboard, self-taught, because I don't have the patience to sit there and get taught how to do something. Because I'd probably just get angry because I won't be able to do it if they're telling me to do something. So, not like it's me getting angry at that stuff. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing, playing a bit of keyboard. I'm really looking forward to the girls being down. So this time next week, the girls will be down and Georgie's birthday. So what is the next week will be the 25th, I think, when we're filmed. So her birthday's on the 23rd. So she'll be a nice four-year-old, which I cannot wait to see. I was going through some of my old photos yesterday and Snapchats, and I was looking at some of her, just when I filmed her over the last couple of years, mate, and they grow so damn quick. I mean, I reckon she's already a better swimmer than what I already am, mate. I am a horrendous swimmer. What were you going to say? You're going to say that's not hard.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not hard. Even a little toddler would be able to beat you.
Oh, thanks, mate. There's your dig. But, yeah, she's been doing a lot of swimming practice, and mate, she was learning this side stroke that she learned today. That, as I said, she's probably already a better swimmer than me. So, I can't wait to wish her happy birthday. But yeah, my week was good, mate. Other than the footy side, was obviously a little bit disappointing. But the weather's been nice here, so being able to go to the beach and hang out a bit, and you know, not necessarily worry about footy until footy actually comes, and now in the routine of, you know, thinking about the game, you know, what went wrong, why we didn't play well, where I can be better, where we can be better, reviewing the game. So it's just the cycle repeats itself now, and we move on.
Yeah, well, we might as well get into it because I know we both want to get it off our chests a little bit. We know we talk about it every week, so the highs and lows, you know, obviously we're both in that position at the moment of not winning. That trend continues that we talked about last year. When you lose, we lose. So we need you boys to win so then we can get a win.
Well, yeah, you've got a bye this week. So we win, then you guys win. Hopefully there's no more losses for us. But yeah, we may as well. I'll touch on my game first. Yeah, so we obviously played on the Sunday, which is quite unique for us. I haven't started a Sunday game in a very long time. Would have probably been when I was at the Giants. So probably a reflection of how we went last year, because the AFL scheduled the blockbusters on the Fridays and the Saturdays, and we're in the 1 o'clock time slot on the Sunday. It was I was saying off air before to you that it was probably the hottest game that I've actually ever – I can't remember ever being like that hot throughout a game. There was no reprise from the sun at all. Like the sun was just there the whole game. We might have had 5 minutes of clouds coming over. Other than that, it was just constantly in the sun. It was 28 degrees. And I sound like I'm bitching and moaning here because you train and play in 28 degrees and live in 28 degrees up there in Queensland. But, mate, when you're not used to that, that was it was just incredibly hot. And that was the first thing that I thought when I was about to play. This is going to be a hot game. And then, yeah, the game itself, I mean, I felt like we started really well, which we did. We definitely didn't capitalize on some opportunities early on in the game. We shot ourselves in the foot a little bit. We got some good turnovers, and then we weren't able to go the other end and score. And I felt like the kick going inside 50 really let ourselves down a bit. We kind of blazed away a little bit. We might have got one of our teammates into time and space, but then, you know, didn't really capitalize with the guy who had the ball. And you know, whether it was blazing away or kicking to the wrong person or whatever it may be, we felt like we did that too much. It kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the game. But the start of the last quarter was still full of confidence. I mean, although I was extremely exhausted and gassed because of the heat, Melbourne were clearly playing it as well, so no excuse there. But I still felt like we were a big chance. And we started off the last quarter really well. We had a couple shots. I think Jamara had a couple shots, and we could have gone 10 points down early into the last quarter. But, as soon as I think Melbourne kicked a goal, it was kind of like the backbreaker for us. And, that's where they clearly had more run in their legs and they overran us, which was the most disappointing thing that, if no one watched the game, they just see the result and see that it's a 45-point loss when I genuinely don't think it was reflective of how we actually performed across the whole game. Can't underestimate again how well Melbourne play, but the extra game that they had last week clearly helped them. I definitely feel like there's plenty of learnings from our game, not only from a physical point of view where we're going to be better prepared this week, but definitely from a learning point of view where the things that we weren't able to do well, which was defend, the way they wanted to move the ball through us, we can practice that, learn that. We had a really good review today So yeah, we'll move on really quickly. Definitely won't be a, you know, that's going to be an outlier for us. I genuinely believe that, and already looking forward to the game this week against, you know, one of the informed teams of the whole competition in the Gold Coast Suns. So one that we got to move past quickly, the game on the weekend.
Yeah, it was interesting. I actually got to watch most of your game because it was at 10 a.m. It was on at 10 a.m. over in Perth. So we didn't have to leave the hotel until I think around 1 o'clock or 1:30, something like that. So I got to watch literally all of it, which was pretty cool. And like you said, yeah, second to what you're saying, you know, you looked like you dominated so many parts of the game and probably just couldn't execute on the scoreboard. And it was a similar story with us. Like we felt like we, you know, early on got a good jump on them, probably caught them off guard, them having not played a game last week. And us obviously playing that game last week probably helped us with the start of the game. But unfortunately, our second and third quarter, again, similar thing to last week where we just, you know, let the foot off the gas a little bit, lost a bit of our hunger at the contest and didn't finish our you know, inside 50s and scores. So similar tales, probably a little bit different story-wise for us. But, yeah, disappointing again that we didn't get out there and get the job done, because we certainly gave ourselves opportunities too. That's probably the most frustrating thing. You know what it's like as a player. You're getting it inside 50 and you're not scoring, and then they go down the other end and kick a goal. It's just really deflating. And I'm not putting any pressure on our key forwards or anyone, our small forwards, for not kicking goals. It's everyone. It's all of us as a group. You know, mids not squeezing in to make sure that it's held inside 50 and numbering off, and then the defender's not killing the ball to get it back in. So little things like that cost us on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night for you, probably watching at home. But, yeah, all in all, I think we'll learn a lot from it, and we've got the week off this week, so I will kick back and watch you play against the Suns and then get ready for the Pies on Thursday night, Easter Thursday.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with what you said with your game. I was fortunate enough to watch that as well. I didn't watch much footy over the weekend, but I watched your game from start to finish. And are you worried at all that, you know, I guess this is probably a question that you boys will get asked over the next week until your next game, that your first two games you've had really good starts and you've gotten a pretty good lead. I mean, you're up 27-2, I think it was, against Freo early, and then you kind of let them get a run on. I mean, it was different to the Carlton game where they came later and it was a lot closer in the end than what the Freo game was. But does that worry you at all that, you know, maybe, like, I don't want to say the word complacency because I know there's no complacency at all. Like, is it a worry at all that, you know, maybe it's like, oh, well, we've got a good enough lead. We're just not going to be as brutal, or we're just not going to defend as well as we probably should if the game was closer. Does that worry you at all? Do you guys talk about that at all, or not really?
No, it's a good question. I don't think we're not worried about it. I feel like it's more, you know, as an individual, you want to be playing a role. And for us, you know, that's the challenge week in, week out, not only for us, for every player in the competition. So that's, I feel, what we're just slightly off at the moment. Like, we're all slightly off. And if we can get that back to, you know, making sure that we're doing our role for the team and making sure all those little things are, you know, the effort's there, the, you know, stick and tackles, we're having a crack, we're cracking in at the contest, we're bringing the ball to ground, or we're taking contested marks, like, that's what will help us. At the moment, we're slightly off, but as we all know, it's literally like that much and you turn it all around and then all of a sudden you're a different team and you're back to that first quarter. And, well, I thought our fourth quarter on the weekend, I think we kicked 5-3 to their 3 goals. So the way we start and finish games is really good. It's just that middle patch that we've got to tidy up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's clearly going to be something that, whether you address it or not, but no doubt it's going to be a focus for you boys in your next game. What's your take on Freo? I mean, a lot of the interstate teams, especially here in Melbourne, I mean, it's obviously unique for you being one of only two teams in Queensland, but no one really talks about the interstate teams here unless it's, you know, maybe Sydney, who are going really well at the moment, the Giants, Gold Coast. What about Freo? What's your thoughts on Freo this year? Because to me, they look super impressive. And considering they had some injuries, they had 3 injuries, obviously would have affected them, but their midfield looked really, really, really good. I mean, that midfield's probably been together for a few years now, but now they look like, you know, they're really ready to take the next step and really drive the group forward and play a quality brand of footy. I mean, they look like they clearly did that on the weekend.
Yeah, their midfield, and led by Joel Corey, who's one of the, in my mind, one of the best coaches that I've ever been involved with. He's obviously got him going really well, and their cohesion, and even Luke Jackson in the ruck, he's just, you know, both times we've played him over the last 12 months, he's been dominant and getting around the ground and taking grabs and just doing everything at ground level. And then obviously led by Caleb Sarong too. Like he had a game for the ages where he just gets given the ball all the time, but his ball use, his cleanliness is just incredible. So they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a good side this year. And there's no harder test than going over there and trying to beat them on their home deck too, especially coming from, you know, the eastern side of the nation, you should, as we'd probably say. It's a tough trip. So I feel like they're going to have a lot of wins, you know, on their home ground playing against opposition teams that have to go over and play against them because they're – and one other thing too I really rate about them is their young key forwards. Their young key forwards are kicking straight. They're taking marks, like they're jumping at the ball. So, yeah, it's a whole different look for them. They like to take the game on. They've always liked to get their forwards up really high and then springboard back. But they beat us in a different way this week, I felt.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more with what you're saying. That Amis?
Mm.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Amos.
He's very, very impressive. For someone who's so lightly built, he's got some great hands and he kicks straight. He's one of the best kicks in the competition. But, I was very interested to know what you thought because, yeah, to me they look really, really, really good. They're going to be a very hard team to beat this year, which is great. I was just talking to someone today about how even the competition is – across the league. Is there any other footy moments that caught you or anything you want to talk about? I know sometimes, well, a lot of the times you have stuff that comes across your plate and you want to speak about it, and whether it's a controversial topic or just anything generic, usually there's something on your mind.
No, I did think of something that I was going to write it down on my phone the other day, but I thought I might remember it. And it's the I actually clarified with the umpires when I saw him on Sunday one thing that it's sort of going around the game at the moment, which I feel like players might be taking advantage of. And it's when you get tackled and someone tackles you here and you fight the tackle, so then it forces them to go high.
Mm-hmm.
Should that be a free kick in your mind? Do you think that's high?
Nah. So I did one.
It's not meant to be.
I agree. I did one to Jack Viney on the weekend. So we were both essentially like in lunging almost. The ball was on the ground. And I literally couldn't tackle him anywhere else other than pretty much where his arm was there or higher. And the umpires knew that and they seen it and it was play on. It wasn't a free kick. And
yeah,
I remember when I did it, I was like, oh shit, sorry, mate, because I got him real high. He goes, nah, it's my fault. I ducked into it. So like, yeah, I agree with that. It's not a free kick. I think it's similar. And I actually seen something today about it. Kane Corns mentioned it today, which it's funny because I never think to do this, but I know players do this and they do it a lot, is when you feel someone tackling you from behind, deliberately push yourself forward and hopefully get a free kick for a push in the back. I seen that today and I feel like players, there's an art to it, and I feel like players are doing that. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and that's what I'm saying. This other one now is because it's such a focus of head high contact. You know, we don't want concussion in the game. Full stop. But
no, it's
a focus, say, like keeping the head safe at the moment in our game, and anything that hits a head is getting called. But this one, it shouldn't be called because I literally asked the umpires the other day and I was like, is that what's meant to happen? And they're like, yep. So it's meant to be play on. If that happens, if you get them there and you slip high because they make you, then it's play on. Should be.
Yeah, well, I agree. Why? Was there a free kick given against you?
Nah, it was the night before. I think it was the Collingwood game.
Okay.
Pendles got one. Maybe Dacos got one.
Oh, yeah, he did. Pendles got one in the D50. I remember he went down, went low and got high.
Yeah,
I agree with that. What's your thoughts on the push in the back one? Do you reckon that should be play on? Say the umpire sees the player intentionally fall forward, because you can tell when someone clearly does it. Do you reckon that should be play on?
Yeah, 100%. I reckon it happened in your game a couple of times where they got a free kick potentially when they fell forward from what I saw, it looked like you go forward. There's an art to it. No worries at all. So I think it should be play on.
So do I. The other one for me, actually come to think of it, because this probably happens to every ruckman, is the blocking off the ball. And there needs to be more clarity because, like, there's a difference between, like, deliberately, I guess, like, trying to hurt the ruckman off the ball versus just impeding his run, like, blocking his run, which, like, say you're getting tagged, right? It happens to that person getting tagged always anyway. So what's the difference between that and the ruckman getting blocked off the ball? Because quite often you see free kicks, you know, to ruckman who where you just like, what the heck just happened? You look at the replay and you just see someone's just literally put body on him which, where the ball's 50 meters away. But it's not an intention. It's just literally impeding his run. Like, you can see how furious I get about it because freaking it happens a lot to Chile. Chile, it happens quite a bit to Chile. And then it happens to, you know, clearly we had a Max Gorn has a focus when he's such a dominant ruckman. Teams go out of their way to try and hit him off the ball. Brody Grundy would cop it. Do you think there needs to be a little bit more clarity on what you can and can't do?
Yeah, well, you tell me this. So if your opponent, like, is running past you for a drop of ball, for argument's sake, like, what do?
You try and, like, push him off his line.
You check him so he can't get past you. That's exactly the same thing as what we're doing to what players do to the ruckman. So I don't think it should be.
It frustrates me because how often do you hear, and you would hear it as well, out on the ground when, like, you've gone out of your way to try and, you know, block for our ruckman. So you might hit the opposition ruckman. And you hear the umpires, let him run, let him run, let him run. Or we'll pay a free kick. And it's like, for what? Like, I'm just, like, stepping in his way. I'm not hurting him. I'm just, like, you know. So, yeah. Oh, I'm glad we spoke about a couple of things because
we're not going to get any free kicks from now on because the umps are going to hate us.
Oh, I don't really get free kicks anyway, but but no, it's definitely an interesting topic because I'd like to know what. Because I'd definitely like to know. I definitely think different ruckmen, you know, would get looked after more so than what other ruckmen would. You know, do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, not saying who's probably Max Gorn's the best ruckman. Tim English, Brody Grundy, those three, Roel Marshall, like those boys are probably the best ruckman in the competition. And yeah, I just feel like you just can't. You can't hit these guys off the ball because it's just going to be a free kick. So anyway, let's move on from that. Because that's going to annoy me. did you watch any of the other games? Any other, like, are you as impressed with Sydney first and the Gold Coast Suns as I am? Because I'm extremely impressed by both of them. I feel like they're playing some really, really good footy.
Yeah. I watched the Sydney game. I didn't get to watch the Gold Coast game, but yeah. I'm very impressed with them. And we played them a few weeks ago and they had a few out, but similar kind of team. And they've just been playing really, really well. It's a credit to them. You know, the way they're covering for the injuries that they've got at the moment. You know, you look at their midfield and, well, Mills is out, Parker's out, Adams is out. Mm-hmm. There's three players that'll definitely be playing for them and they're performing the way they are, beating Collingwood and obviously their win last week as well. So, against the D. So it's ultra impressive and, they're going to be a formidable side this year, I feel.
Yeah, that's my – right now, going off 2 weeks, they're probably the team that's impressed me the most. The Giants has as well. Both Sydney teams have been super impressive. Like, it's crazy because I think about still Giants is only – the GWS Giants have only been around for – how long now? Like, 2012 was our first year, so that's 12 years. And their sustained success is incredible. And they just keep getting better, and they're another team that has been super impressive to me. What about Matt Rowe? I need to have a weekly – like, I feel like I'm – look, mate, my favourite player in the AFL is you, and it will always be you, mate. You're my favourite player in the AFL. I love Toby Green. He's one of my other favourite players. I love Jeremy Howe. Love Brody Grundy. But, mate, Matt Rowe, he's one of my favourite players. He is unbelievable. I seen this thing the other day where I think Took Miller today or yesterday might have said that he is probably the best one-on-one player in the competition in terms of if there's a ball between you and someone else, like him and someone else, like he's probably going to win that footy. And I just can't – like I agree. I actually – watching him inside is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's, and we played him in the preseason, so not long ago. His ability to, like you said, but he just scraps. So you think you've got the ball, he'll jump in and he'll rip it out. He'll just be rolling around. He'll get himself dirty. Like, he just does all these things to then wrestle the ball off you and then just flick it out. Like, he's unbelievable at doing that. So it's a credit to him, and no questions as to why he's playing so well at the moment.
Yeah. So does it make you, like, think, because quite often his criticism, which was clearly unfair, was his outside game, because, you know, he's literally 85% of a contested ball player. But sometimes that is good enough. That is what you need to be. Like, do you sometimes find that a little bit silly that they try and nitpick, but once they start playing so well, it's a bit like Nick Daicos with his outside game versus his inside game. When he might be getting tagged or whatever it is and not having a really good game, they're going to question his inside stuff when his outside stuff is probably better than anyone in the competition.
It's interesting because I feel like they do that with everyone. Like, whether you're an inside player, you're an outside player, you're always criticized for the weaker side of your game. And it's actually quite funny because as a player, you can take on that feedback and listen to it and then go and work on it, but you're actually losing your strength almost because you wanted to improve the deficiency in your game, and then you go and do that, and then you take it away from your strength.
Get it.
So I just think maybe Matty Real over the past couple of years has done that. Like, potentially he's gone, oh, you know, I need to work on my outside game because everyone's saying I need to work on my outside game. But now it's just like a new coach might have come in and been like, mate, we just want you to be the inside bull we know you can be. And that's it. So it's clearly working for him.
Mate, I cannot wait to see when him and Tom Green go against each other. That is going to be, because I swear when we did our Brownlow tips, did I say Tom Green? I know I said Nick Daicos, but did I also say Tom Green? I hope I did. Far out. I hope I did, because him and Matt Rao have started the season off unbelievably well, and they're two of the most impressive players that I've seen so far. But those two players have been unbelievable. This week, you've got the bye. Before we talk about our game or my game, what are you going to do, mate? Is there anything exciting that you're going to get up to? It's a bit weird that you've got a bye, you know, three games in.
Yeah, well, I feel good. I actually had a cortisone today, though, so body's not feeling so great in the ankle. But, it's strange, but it's come at probably not a bad time for us, to be honest, because – you know, obviously 0-2 and quite disappointed with how we've been going out on the field. So it's nice to be able to have a few extra days to really dissect it and really look into it and make sure that we come out on Thursday night next week against the Pies full head of steam and ready for the contest.
So do you guys train? Do you have like a few days off, like for the fans out there who are clearly interested in what you do? Like, will they schedule a training session for you? Like, so you play on Thursday. So I presume you might train on the Thursday main session just to replicate like a week between games and stuff?
Yeah. So from Sunday when we played, we've had every day. So we flew back on Monday, so it doesn't really count. But we have Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then Thursday we'll train. Friday we'll have off. Saturday train. So train on Saturday. And then Sunday, sort of like day on, day off until next week. Yep. And then next week's just a full week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the club, and then Thursday play. So it's a little freshen up, I probably should say, and then you get stuck into it early next week.
Has rude of me not to mention how Lachie Neale, will he be back next week? Because he was clearly a big loss inside for you as well.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. He was itching to play this week, and I know that for a fact because the physios were telling me that he was raging when he couldn't get fixed. But it's obviously the risk of doing something worse if you've got that tightness there. So I'm sure he'll be back next week and fully ready to go.
What a ripping game that's going to be. I can't wait to see, firstly, how the Pies go this Thursday, because they've clearly, you know, well, you're not here in Melbourne, mate, but that who everyone is seem to be talking about at the moment just because they've gone 0-2. But we still know that they've got the same group essentially as last year's premiership winning team. So that'll be a blockbuster, that game. Next Thursday when they do play, but this Thursday will be a good game as well. There's a lot of good games this weekend that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, same here. When's your game this week?
We play beautiful Ballarat on the Sunday, mate, at 1:00.
Oh, so you missed the F1 in Melbourne this week.
Yeah, actually, I did an appearance at 7-Eleven I 7-Eleven Red Bull event on Monday. I know you would have been nice and that would have been a perfect opportunity for you if you're in Melbourne. You would have been the first one there. You know, you would have got everything. You got the photos with the F1 car, Max Verstappen replica. But no, it was really cool. It was actually really, really cool. We actually got to go to the it was the 7-Eleven on the corner of St. Kilda Road and Almar Road in St. Kilda, obviously. Do you know, can you picture that in your head? You would be able to. You would have driven past it a million times. And like they kind of blocked off the 7-Eleven and they just had, you know, they had Red Bull athlete, which was Christian Petrarca, which was great. We played him the day before and he was there. Obviously, you know, always a little bit salty when you lose to him. But no, he's a ripping fella. We did an appearance with him and got a photo with the replica F1 car, which is really cool. But then I was able to take my brand new Raptor, which was sick, was able to take it through. So part of the I guess the filming bit of it was you drive it up to the where the petrol is and you got the pit girls. They're all dressed in the Red Bull outfits and they'll clean your car and actually got a free tank of fuel as well, mate. So that was a big tick, especially in these troubled times, mate, with finances and petrol and money and whatever else you got to pay. But got some free petrol. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. And yeah, I'm a bit bummed that I'm going to actually miss the F1 because I was actually really keen this year to go, but probably be the same result as it has been the last 3 years. Hasn't Verstappen just won every year?
Yeah, he's too good, Maxi. I think this year, though, it's pretty even. They've evened it up a little bit. So that'll be a good watch, the Australian Grand Prix on Sunday. But let's talk footy. You were talking about Matty Real. You and him are going to go head-to-head in the middle, or you're going to get Libba to do that or Bonty to do that? What's going to happen?
Oh, I don't know yet, mate. I might get Libba and Rally would be unbelievable contest, those two competitive animals. But no, I'm looking forward to the game. I mean, as I said before, they've been ultra impressive. They've played two really good games. You know, they're clearly a very strong contested ball team, and that's led by their midfield. I mean, we've mentioned Matty Rail, but Noah Anderson's best fairest winner. A star of the game, and Took Miller's another player that we seem to not mention who's been a best fairest All Australian winner as well. Sam Flanders, Jared Witts is an underrated ruckman. They've got some quality across the field, so I feel like it's really great for our group knowing that we're coming up against the team. You know, that is flying, and it's a great challenge for us. We know that no team is an easy beat at all. But we love coming up against teams that are obviously in good form and we know that they are. And we're looking forward to getting up to Ballarat. We play two or three games there a year and we enjoy playing there. We seem to play really well there in Ballarat and we get a great turnout from our Ballarat fans, which is what I'm excited for. And I'm glad that I've already looked at the forecast. It's not going to be 28 and just sun just peppering down on you. So that's already a win, but really looking forward to it. Can't wait to see how we bounce back. I know the boys are extremely motivated and driven. As I said, we reviewed the game a little bit today and we'll review it a little bit more over the next coming days. But we've already set our sights for the game Sunday and really want to rectify the areas that we got wrong on the weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that one. Hey, one thing I've been meaning to ask you, and I know you're really close with this guy, Riley Sanders. It was pretty topical. Yes. That he got subbed out on the weekend. How is he? One, but how was his reaction? How's he bounced back from obviously that happening to him? We know some players probably just cop it on the chin. Other players might hurt a little bit more. In your first game of AFL football, getting subbed out, yeah, I just really want to know, get an insight into how he's feeling.
Yeah, obviously, it's tough for him. Clearly it was tough to get. I don't think anyone ever wants to get subbed out. But he understands. He understands, you know, what the team needs. He understands what the mindset was. We needed to bring on some fresh legs. Obviously, Caleb Daniel came on and had an enormous impact for us and, you know, almost changed the game for us in some ways. He was brought this energy, just energy around the ball and was great. But, yeah, obviously, you know, was a little bit flat that he went off, as we all would have been. You know, no one wants to get subbed off. But the beauty about Sando is he's ultra professional, ultra driven, ultra motivated. And, you know, I was able to talk to him today and he's just ready and preparing himself to, you know, go out there this week and just be a better version of himself. And he will be. I mean, he had some good moments, had some great moments. I mean, he got involved early, had a shot on goal. I felt like his contest the ball stuff was really good. He's such a big, strong, powerful lad. And I mean, it's not easy coming up against Christian Petrarca, Clayton Oliver, Jack Viney, Christian Salem in your very first game. And I've just mentioned the Gold Coast midfield doesn't get any easier, but it's a great experience for him. And I feel like he's just going to get better and learn a lot more from these experiences. So, yeah, so I guess to simply answer your question, obviously flat that he gets subbed out, but totally gets it, totally understands it. And that's the best thing about him. And, you know, it'll be sooner rather than later when it clicks for him, and it will click for him, you know, sometime early this year, and he will dominate a game. And he just has the ability and the power of the mind to do that. So I'm looking forward to him going out there this weekend and, you know, having another crack and just enjoying being out there. He's definitely someone who is ultra motivated. You can just tell by the way that he is around the club and the way that he trains and how diligent he is. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he goes this week. But it's good. It's a good question because you're right. It has been a bit of a, you know, a talking point. But there's always talking points out of teams that don't win. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he bounces back this week.
Do you think those talking points come from like we've talked about this before, but the game now is so stats driven. Like I think he had 15 touches in the second quarter. But what challenges young players face coming into the game, and you can talk about this too, is the game's not all about offense. Like as an 18-year-old, as a 16-year-old, it's all about offense and you're just trying to get the footy and trying to get stats. Like that's what it is. But once you get drafted, it becomes a team philosophy, team mentality. And is that what he's still growing as a player?
Definitely. I think that, you know, you're right. Being someone who was clearly the best player in every team that he was in, and defense is not taught into a youngster, you know, coming through the ranks. I mean, you're never taught defense as a youngster. You taught the basics of tackling and maybe running the other way, but that was more so just to get the footy. Where now it's, you know, especially if you're not necessarily playing midfield, if you're playing that high half forward or wing or whatever it may be, it's so, you know, those positions are so vital to defensive structures for all teams. It's not just our team, all teams. And, you know, whether it's the winger getting back to help the defenders, whether it's the high half forwards getting up to clog, you know, inside 50 kicks, whatever it may be, it's definitely an area that, you know, is something that he's learning on the go. And you're not going to learn it like that. I mean, you know, I still have clearly areas that I've got to improve on, and you know, so do you, and so do some of the great midfielders in our game. But yeah, I feel like that's definitely an area where he can keep growing. And as I said, he's as professional, as diligent as I've ever met. And he's constantly asking, you know, where do I need to be? What position do I need to be in terms of like a defensive position? When should I go? When should I not go? How should I approach this contest? Stuff like that. Those questions that you don't typically get, you know, from 18, 19-year-old kids. So the willingness to learn is there. And as I said, it'll click. It'll click, you know, super quick. And, you know, he's going to tear games apart this year, not only this year, but for years and years to come. And, I look forward to, you know, seeing that progress over his journey. Actually, one thing I wanted to touch on, it just reminded me of Sando because he's a Tassie boy. How's the Tasmanian team getting announced?
I know, and you've jumped me because I was going to have the Tassie team as my the bloom of the week this week. So
we might as well get into it.
And thanks to Brooke and the team for always supporting us. We love her work, and we're really pumped to be partnering with them throughout this year and hopefully into the future as well. But mine this week, the bloom of the week for me is the Tassie Devils. I was trying to find out something, you know, like I said at the first episode, just trying to do something different. I was going to say bloom of the week might be the Reserve Bank for slowing interest rates down a little bit, but I've gone with the Tassie Devils announcement. And yeah, I think all the hype around it, I think I saw today they've got this $10 membership, founding membership thing going on, and it's over 75,000 already, which is incredible.
It doesn't surprise me because Tassie is obviously clearly just the football dominant state, and they've been petitioning for a team for a long time. But that's a great Bloom of the Week. That's cool. It reminded me of the time where we announced, so the Giants, as in the GWS Giants, we announced our team and the Giants. We were called Team GWS, and then, you know, 3 days into all of us being together as a 17-year-olds, we announced our team at a big launch. I remember Izzy Folau was the marquee player who was at the front, and I bet you Brado can cut up some good vision of that, because there's some cool vision of myself as a 17-year-old, Jeremy Cameron, Dylan Scheel, Izzy, I think Nathan Wilson might be there, some players who had long careers. And it's quite funny because the Tasmanian side are going to go through the same thing. So it's a great Bloom of the Week. Well done, mate.
Thank you. I think we should have a bit of a competition, you and me, with who gets the Bloom of the Week, who gets the best Bloom of the Week.
We've got our tipping comp, which we haven't touched upon this week. I've got no idea who's ahead, but I feel like I'm ahead.
Yeah, you're ahead. You're ahead. Before we move on, I want to talk to you about the jumper. What are your thoughts on the old state jumper? I thought, personally, before you go, I thought that it was pretty traditional. I get it, but spice it up a bit. Let's see something a bit different. What do you think?
Well, I've just had to quickly – I totally forgot what it looked like. I just quickly Googled it, and there's Richo with the Tassie Devils. Oh, I don't mind tradition. I actually don't mind it. You know what? I was already calling them the Tasmanian Devils because I just presumed that's what they were going to be called. I mean, but what, like, give me, what's another nickname? Can you give me something?
No other nickname, but their logo. So the logo that I saw, so the Tassie.
So this one. This logo, Joshy?
No, that's their jumper. There's a logo ads. There's a logo.
Oh, this
and
one.
It's actually like the Tassie Devil. Yes. So put that front and center of the jumper, potentially, like the Dogs do with, you know, that their what was that jumper?
It would have been a retro one.
That's like a fight back, retro one or something. Like, put that at the front with the colors, and you can still have the Tassie emblem there. But I feel like that logo would have been sick.
Yeah, come to think of it, with that little, the devil. Yeah, I feel like though, as they expand and grow, there'll eventually be a jumper where the logo's on it, but the generic jumper that they were going to bring, it doesn't surprise me. I thought that's what it was going to be. Do you remember the Tassie team in the VFL? Did you ever watch them?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the VFL or the
– Yeah.
The,
yeah, do you remember
under-18?
Do you remember him in the VFL? No. Do you remember him in the VFL comp years ago?
Oh, nah. I don't remember in the VFL comp, only under-18s.
They used to be in the VFL comp, and that's kind of – I think that's what they used to wear, so it's no real surprise to me that they're wearing that. But it's exciting, mate. It's exciting for the Tasmania. No doubt they're going to be coming after some absolute superstars of the competition. So look out, every team. I feel like I'll be well and truly retired by then. So unless they want an aging 38 or 39-year-old, but it's exciting for Tassie. My Brooks Bloom of the Week, mate. We've got to do my Brooks Bloom of the Week, which I'm really excited to do. Mine is I've been told by Tommy not to do any more American sport for a while, so I won't do American sport. And I'm not going to do footy. I'm going to go to the NRL field.
Oh,
and our boys
Xavier
the Storm.
Coates.
Our boys the Storm. And by the way, Clubhouse boys, thank you so much for I'm going to give a shout out to Money, Cammy Munster, wearing his Bulldogs jumper last week on the podcast. It was unbelievable. I need a rep of Melbourne Storm jersey next week for the potty. You know, he's a true Bulldogs fan. So thanks, Money, for giving us the support. But my Brooks Bloom of the Week is Xavier Coates' try, mate. What is that? I'm going to say Israel Folau's try, where he went up and grabbed it and scored, was probably, I'd say that's probably the best try I've seen. Xavier Coates is probably a close second, almost first try. That was incredible.
Yeah. I didn't watch it live, but I know Charlie Cameron was watching it live, and he was texting our group chat, like, going nuts. He's like, OMG, 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 Xavier Coates.
Is he a Storm fan?
Yeah, he is, Chuck. Yeah, big Storm fan. Even though he gets around all the other teams because he's a he's a Brisbane boy and he loves the Broncos, he loves everyone. But he's a Storm fan at heart, I think. And I watched it back on the replay and I was like, geez, that's probably one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's definitely top two, top three for me. The display of athleticism, and then to keep himself in bounds with his hand to score the try whilst falling out. Like, that is just, mate, unbelievable. And to do it in the, I think it was the 80th minute when he did it as well, when the boys needed a try. I mean, unbelievable. Don't know who Coatsy goes for, but hopefully it's the Western Bulldogs because, yeah, that was impressive. That was, so that's my Brooks Bloom of the week.
I like it. You're going to send him a jumper or something to make sure that he's on the Bulldogs bandwagon or what?
Yeah, I will. I may as well do that. I'll send it out to the Melbourne Storm facility and get money to give it to him because I know Money loves his boys. I know Jerome Hughes loves his Bulldogs boys as well. So I think there's quite a few Western Bulldogs fans out at Melbourne Storm. I mean, you're a Melbourne Storm fan at heart. I know you are.
Yeah, well, we used to connect a lot. You know, after I think it was 2016, 17, 18, we used to meet up a lot, go after dinner. So that relationship was always there and the boys were all over it. So it doesn't surprise me that they're still cheering hard for you boys. And obviously I've moved, so it's I'm going to have to try and drag a couple across potentially.
Nah, stick with the Storm boys, mate. But is there anything else you'd love to talk about on this lovely night where we started the podcast 3 hours ago and we're finally about to finish, which has been another good one?
No, I want to give one shout out before we finish up, and it's to a lady or a girl over in Perth. I don't know, you've probably seen her at Open Captain's Run or Open Training or whatever. She has you and me, a t-shirt of you and me, and I don't know if she listens to our podcast. I want her to reach out and I want to send her a couple of our or t-shirt and the hat that we've got. Because on the day, I was like, I wish I just had something there to give to her because she's such a big supporter of ours. So I'm not sure what her name is, but yeah, feel free to reach out because we love the support. And obviously getting it over there in Perth too was pretty incredible. So reach out and we're going to send you some kit because we'd love for you to enjoy that.
I know the exact lady that you're talking about because she has the signs and she does the ads. Oh man, I wish I could find it before this podcast ends because I've seen it a million times. But so did she come and watch your game? Did she?
She came to our captain's run. I'm not sure if she came to the game, but I saw her prior to or the day before. So I just wish at the time I had something to give her. But we're gonna have to chase it up.
Oh, we're gonna have to chase it up. But great shout out, mate. That's very very nice of you. I can't wait for you to shout us out. And we can't wait to get your ads and dunks hat and polo. But yeah, mate, another great episode.
Yeah, it is, mate. And thanks to Brooke and the team at Brooks Blooms for supporting us. Again, we always talk about them. Best landscaping company in the world. So make sure you hit him up if you need your backyard done or front yard, if you've got a bigger front yard. But yeah, thanks, Adzi. Another good one. We'll wrap it up there and we look forward to next week. All the best, mate, down in Ballarat.
Thank you, mate. You too. Hope you enjoy your weekend. And I reiterate, Brooke, you're an absolute superstar. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.